You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, the podcast that happens at least once a week with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients while having a great work-life balance. Now, those that won't probably have a great life work-life balance are those that are working on the new EU HTA things, because lots of things are coming your way and are already worked on in the background. And if you want to learn more about what that means for you, then listen to this interview with Stefan Walser, who is one of our expert in terms of that. So stay tuned. As you are listening to this one, we are preparing for the Effective Statistician Conference in the background. And as that is close to the start of 2025, we will surely have lots of presentations, discussions around the new EU HTA topics. And by then, we will have a much, much better understanding of what it exactly means. And so just come to this really, really great conference where we are getting more and more presenters from around the world. And you will be able to listen to lots of different presentations, attend workshops from lots of different experts and also from me. And you can take a lot away from this conference. Not just from a learning perspective, but especially also from a networking perspective. We have this really, really nice platform called HiHive, where you will be able to meet with each other and with others nearly like in person. And we designed this kind of virtual space in such a way that it is easy for you to interact. So we will have specific areas where you can meet the speakers. We will have specific areas for different topics. So if you're, for example, interested in HTA, you can actually meet other people also interested in that. Or if you're interested in real-world evidence, you can meet yet other people that are interested in real-world evidence, or data visualization, or Bayesian design, or whatsoever. Yeah? We will have lots of different hubs on different topics. And yes, we'll also have some fun topics there. And if you are actually a sponsor, then you will also have a space there where you can meet new clients or maybe new candidates for your company. Now, as you're listening to this, or if you're listening to this at the time it comes out, I'm actually at the PSI conference. PSI is an organization I'm creating this podcast in association with. It is a community dedicated to leading, promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. And if you're not at PSI, if you actually are and you're listening to this, then just say hello, then join PSI. Then you can benefit from many, many different areas to further develop your statistical capabilities. Head over to psiweb.org to learn more about all the different things that PSI is doing for its members and become a member today. Welcome to another episode of The Effective Statistician. And today I have once again Stefan Walser here from Mars with me on the show. Hi, Stefan. How are you doing?
Very good, Alexander. Thanks for having me. And obviously, it's great to be back.
Yes. So if you don't know about Stefan, he has been on the show already multiple times, has been part of conferences from myself. And so, but still for those who don't know you, maybe you can give a very short introduction on what you're doing and where you're currently up to.
Absolutely. Perfect. Thanks for that. So I'm working in the area of market access, health economics, pricing since more than 20 years. I was working in consultancy, have had as well quite a good number of years in the industry. And since a bit more than 11 years, I'm running my own consultancy. We have had a bigger focus in the last years on the German speaking markets, so Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. But nowadays, I think also with all of those different language models and AI kind of maybe just a hype question mark, I think we have as well been moving a bit more into, as we call it, market access 4.0. But I think overall, and I think that's probably where we have a little bit the kind of a connection is for sure, market access is not only about, let's say, the economics of it, but it has a lot to do, obviously, with the clinical part, hence with statistics, of course, as well.
Yeah, definitely. And just scroll back in the episodes, you'll definitely get some insights about that. Even though you might not work directly in the HTA area, but also if you work in phase 1, 2, 3, then you will definitely benefit from these things as well to better understand why certain things need to happen in development in a certain way. And that is actually getting more and more important. And that's actually the topic of today. What is currently happening within the EU HTA area?
Yeah, I mean, I think we probably need to differentiate a bit, right? I think one thing is obviously what is happening in the individual countries, right? Mm-hmm. With also the kind of the difficulties around the economies, struggling economies. Obviously, let's say payers across those countries are looking for cost savings, meaning trying to as well bring further the prices down. And the prices down is obviously as well always the question, how could you do that? Hence, they are also trying to get even more strict on the kind of requirements, especially from a clinical and statistical perspective. That's one side, right? On the other side, we're obviously as well entering into a new era. We will get into the so-called European Joint Clinical Assessment, which will start early next year. So it's in the first quarter of next year. And some of those indications, which might be then launched after that, firstly need to go through that so-called JCA, which is especially oncology, rare disease areas, the advanced therapy, medicinal products, ATMPs, and also vaccines and agents as well. So it's a smaller kind of group. Interestingly for me as well, oncology, okay, I could maybe understand that. It has a bigger kind of impact. But I mean, thinking about ATMPs and the kind of sample size kind of issues sometimes what you have, it might get a bit tricky as well already on a pan-European level before you would even enter into then the kind of real submissions, meaning the negotiations on a national level. That's the current kind of, let's say, big discussion, the hot topic probably across Europe.
Yeah, so the European Union are things happening. So does that mean that does not include the UK and England was nice, isn't it?
Exactly, absolutely correct. I mean, due to the Brexit, I think the UK is basically out of that component, meaning, let's say the complexity might even increase when you are coming out, when you are coming outside of the European Union, right? I mean, if you are maybe a US company and want to, let's say, conquer the European, let's say, environment, the different nations, you have on the one side, you have the UK with the specifics on the regulatory side, and obviously then as well with UK NICE, what you as well just said, as well with respect, for example, the cost effectiveness, which is quite complex already. And then I think on the other hand, you have then the bigger European Union with now a pan-European clinical assessment, firstly, which is then basically coming before you would need to submit still to the national agencies and in some countries, even on a regional and or local level. So it's getting, let's say, a bit more complex, potentially. We need to see. I think we still have a couple of question marks if potentially that kind of further layer might even make the life a bit easier. I think it could very well be. I think if we have spoken with some payers, probably more from some smaller countries in the European Union with not so much manpower, for example, like Germany or France, then this could obviously help because then they would just say, look, we wait for the European JCA, which is happening before their submission, and then we take that as a basis for the negotiation. That could potentially speed up the timing until market access, meaning a price agreement. On the other hand, obviously, there are also, let's say, some critiques. As people might just say, you know, it's just another layer and you would still need to obviously submit kind of further analysis, for example, for Germany, for France, for a couple of other important countries. And ultimately, if you maybe mix everything together, why should maybe as well the industry have an incentive to, for example, get an agreement with a small country, for example, with, I don't know, maybe say Poland, which is not so small, but still, let's say, smaller than, for example, France and Germany, maybe even with a lower price. So I think the kind of order might still be the same as we now see. And that's a bit the kind of question mark. And I think it will be really interesting to see what is happening in the next 2 years.
So just from a timing perspective, so what's currently happening is you more or less start with the HTA submission around the time of the European approval. Yeah. So in Germany, for example, usually is a couple of weeks after the approval where you need to submit your HTA dossier. How will that work in the future?
Well, that's a very good one as well. At least a theory behind, right? Yeah. Is that, let's say, at the time of the positive opinion by the CHMP, companies should be able to submit the JCA dossier ready. The reason for that is basically very simple, and you just laid that out with the different kind of timings, right? If you want to be ready for a national submission in at least Germany, for example, very close to the actual approval, which is happening normally 8 to 12 weeks after the CHMP opinion, you need to have the JCA dossier ready, let's say those 2, rather 3 months before the actual approval already is being submitted. As obviously also the agency, which is handling the JCA on a European level, needs as well a bit of time, right? They need time to review, to give feedback, to finalize as well a kind of recommendation, let's say, and that this can as well be used, and that's the idea, as a basis also for the national submission. But this is then also a bit of a tricky question. I mean, you as a statistician have been as well pretty much, let's say, involved as well in those early stages, right? A lot is happening around, let's say, the definition also of the label. And this is happening, let's say, around the CHMP opinion, right? So how could you really make, let's say, everything ready so close to the kind of actual submission of the JCA, meaning the actual kind of the positive opinion of the CHMP? Everything's happening basically around the same time. Yeah. A lot of times this might not be an issue, right? Because it might just be small kind of changes. But just imagine the CHMP might just open a subgroup instead of the ITT, which have been in the trial, right? Or maybe they move a product rather in a later line or include a later line, which might as well mean that you would need further analysis against additional comparators. So that's a lot of, let's say, uncertainty around it. And that, I think, will be really, really interesting to see how the industry, especially maybe smaller or mid-sized companies, will react to that.
Yeah, or maybe there's only, you know, the dose will depend on certain factors. Yeah, so maybe you have 2 doses in your study, and then they say, well, we approve the lower dose for these patients and the higher dose for these patients. Yeah.
Perfect example.
And then you basically need analysis, all the analysis again, where you basically have 2 arms, comparator, and then, so to say, a dose arm, where the lower weight patients get the lower dose and the higher weight patients get the higher dose. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Imagine that happening. Then you would basically need to rerun all analysis.
Yeah.
You basically need to be, you know, ready very, very soon and agile with these kind of things.
Exactly.
Anders, a fellow statistician on LinkedIn, talked about statisticians being superheroes to achieve all these timelines.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think you probably hit the right kind of, let's say, direction, right? I think everything will be super hectic probably around the kind of launch, which it has been as well in the past. But I think the past is probably just, let's say, quite easy in comparison probably to the near future. If you want to still stick to those kind of, let's say, timelines you currently have used, right? Obviously, you can as well be a bit more relaxed if you just say, we first took the CHMP opinion, then we prepare and submit maybe even 4, 6, 8 weeks later to the JCA, meaning that still they need some time to review. You get the approval already somewhere between, then you wait for the kind of feedback. And obviously, then you just maybe further prepare the submission for the national agency. So it's a bit of a question as well. Just keep in mind, I think politicians or the idea of politicians on the European level in order to, let's say, create that kind of JCA was especially also to streamline the process in order to get the drugs faster to the patients across the various countries. If that will be achieved, I'm not really exactly sure.
How far are we in terms of knowing exactly what needs to be submitted and in which form?
Yeah, let's put it that way. I think a couple of more question marks are probably already a bit more answered. I think there's a template now available somehow, I would say, right, for the dossier. I think at the last ISPOR in Europe, which was mid of November last year, which is roughly 5-6 months from now when we just speak, and roughly a bit more than a year before the actual JCA would come into effect. I think, as far as I remember, I don't know exactly anymore the kind of exact number, but the feedback from some European responsible person was, yeah, you know, we have probably already achieved somewhere around 1/3 of the tasks we needed to do before the kind of actual launch of the JCA, which is to me a bit of a joke. I mean, you know, people, companies need to prepare. And, you know, they just do it now within that 1 year. And I would bet that not everything is answered when they try to launch it, if I would maybe want to say that, in the first quarter of next year.
So that means people can't kind of completely already now know, okay, yeah, next year in 2025, we will need to do these kind of different things. They don't even know yet what they will be asked to fill in and what kind of formats on these kind of things. So you really need to be even more agile and more flexible to then adjust to all these kind of different settings.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you just as well keep in mind, I think in most countries, you also have the opportunity to speak with the institutions beforehand, right? You have those early consultations. And this has just been put into place earlier this year, together then with the joint HDA kind of process with the GBA in Germany. But keep it in mind as well, we have already a big backlog in the German assessment, let's say, process for the consultation with the GBA already, just with the German one, right? And you could just imagine they cannot just shift and put a lot of new people as well in that kind of process and just give us all additional kind of feedback there. So if you're lucky, you have maybe already gotten a consultation on the European JCA level with the GBA. They do it on behalf, right? If you're unlucky, maybe you don't have one now, and you maybe plan a launch in early next year, it might get even more tricky, right? Because otherwise you get at least some kind of feedback. Even that, let's say, not everything is currently being planned for or has been decided. And knowing how the GBA, let's say, personnel is reacting, and I think that's absolutely correct, they basically just tell you what is 100% clear, 100% defined in the various regulations. If something is not included there yet, they cannot give you an answer, obviously. So it's not helping a lot at the end of the day, potentially, right?
So at the moment, people really need to be very, very agile. What are kind of resources that people should look out for? Kind of emails, maybe email subscriptions they should follow, groups that should follow, conferences they should attend. Where can people learn most from about the EU HDA process?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is obviously, let's say, the European Commission and all the kind of related institutions around the JCA for sure, because they need firstly, let's say, to as well define a lot of those kind of regulations, further templates, and I would also say further some of the processes even more clearly. I think that's I think, number one. I think the second thing is for sure, maybe as well check with some of the industry associations. I think they have as well, obviously, through their kind of groups and kind of connections as well, sometimes a bit earlier, one or the other kind of information for sure. And finally, I think what I would clearly see, I mean, if I would be in the industry, I would clearly go to the ISPO conference, which is in November. I mean, I could foresee that, let's say, the vast majority of topics at that conference will be around the European JCA. I think it was already a lot last year in November, but I think it will be clearly not only the hot topic, it will be probably the, I don't want to say only, but in a way, it is the only kind of topic which is really important for most of the persons attending there. So I think if you take all of that into account, try to speak, ideally still try to get maybe a consultation with the GBA to get some further information. I think that's probably the only thing what you can do. I mean, of course, we all have information, let's say, experience from different other sources, from different other processes. But ultimately, it's not the one which has still to be defined within the European assessment.
Yeah. In November, there's also another event that is happening, and that's actually not clashing with ISPOR, and that is my conference. There at my conference, there will be also definitely presentations about that.
Yeah.
Anja Schiel already signaled to me that she will be there, and she sits quite directly in the center of all of that. Then she will definitely be able to update on that, especially being herself a statistician in that area. And she has been very, very informative in prior episodes on this podcast and in other occasions where she talked for example, also at the FSPI regulatory workshop.
Yeah.
By the way, that will also happen in September in Basel. And I'm pretty sure that at that time, there will be also discussions about that. I know from some of the organizers of this workshop that EU-HDA, like last year, will also be one of the key topics that they will talk about.
Yeah, so, I think it's a very good point, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and by the way, regarding my conference, you can just go over to the Effective Statistician homepage and check in the menu for the conference, and you can register there. Now, you said this could be one of the, you know, or the only thing at the ISPO. I think there will be one other thing, and that is a hot topic that probably nobody can anywhere kind of avoid, and that is, of course, generative AI.
Yes.
How do you think generative AI will change how we approach HDA processes, or how is it already changing how we approach HDA processes?
Yeah, that's a very good one. Yeah, I mean, as I said as well earlier, I think in my introduction, I think we are as well behind that, right? And I think you probably mentioned a very important word, which is agility, right? You need to be agile, especially in those kind of even faster kind of processes. So I think the whole kind of, let's say, AI, to me, I think will change everything what we currently do in market access in the next probably, let's say, 2 to 4 years probably. I think it depends a bit how fast probably the industry is also adapting to that. That's, I think, to me, the kind of key driver for everything. But I think when you just take the different processes there, right? When you think about the, let's say, kind of the early planning of market access, I mean, you can already streamline a lot because most of the information is available, right? What we currently have done is basically spend a lot of time to basically streamline the information, put it into a good kind of frame and explaining it. But I think especially the first part, bring everything together, condense it, put it maybe in a kind of nice way that everybody or at least the experts can understand it. I think that can be probably done already by a lot of those kind of, let's say, AI platforms or tools which are available. That's number one, right? Mm-hmm. What we have also discussed, I think, a couple of months ago and probably continuously was also, let's say, a quite flexible system from a statistical perspective. I mean, just take your example from before, right? If you have all of the data available and you have, let's say, suddenly change from the CHMP, for example, I want only, let's say, a lower dose for one group and maybe higher dose for another group, the data are there, right? The kind of key issue so far was rather, okay, let's go back to the statistical kind of group, discuss it, plan the analysis, run the analysis, understand it, validate it, and then bring it back, right? That is still the normal process, but I think if you can make up a more kind of agile and more kind of easy to use platform and also plan for that early enough, also that one can streamline a lot of days, weeks, and months to probably just a few hours, maybe a couple of days for sure, that this can as well be used then in that kind of process. So you see already that you're shrinking down as well the kind of timeline a lot. And what we have, for example, as well done now, we have now created a platform for dossiers where you can just upload the documents and then which is then being pre-filled or pre-filling the kind of different templates which are available just in a couple of minutes. So also this one will help a lot. When you just say, think about it, you're approaching kind of a CHMP opinion. Maybe the CHMP is changing their kind of mindset, right? So you go back, get the kind of statistical analysis maybe within a couple of days, get the statistical analysis in that kind of dossier platform, get everything in there, and then you are already in that kind of time frame where you can just still say, okay, now I submit it to the JCA.
Yeah.
Even think that further, right? I mean, the kind of time what you need now for the JCA dossier is also the kind of time what you then need for the national dossiers. But if you have an AI platform behind, which can at least pre-fill the majority of the dossier, then you can spend more time obviously on strategy, on validation, on streamlining, all of that kind of stuff, which is still shrinking your timeline tremendously down. And this is just, let's say, three examples, right? Not even thinking about what payers can as well do, right? Let everything check in a much faster way, that you have a basis much faster, so you could maybe even go into price negotiations a bit earlier. That's probably a bit more the future, what I think, but not as of now, right? So you see a lot of different applications. Think about literature searches, the same thing, right?
Yeah.
We spend a lot of time there in reviewing, in analyzing, in deciding, and extracting data, then further analyze it again, maybe do even a meta-analysis, which takes months. And then we're still not at the report level, right? If you can track that down there and could it maybe done in, let's say, 2 weeks and then write the report or maybe even have a draft report ready by an AI.
Yeah.
I mean, then we've done it maybe 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the drafting of documents can be so much faster.
Yeah.
And of course, there's a lot of kind of generic text in there that can also be written by an AI. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm pretty sure that those companies that embrace that kind of technology and invest in it will have a major advantage.
Yeah.
So if companies, you know, I probably think kind of some of the big ones, they will try it at least to build it themselves. Yeah. But if people say, well, I don't want to build that myself, there's probably something better out there. What should people do?
I mean, we did a screening. I mean, currently it's not a lot out there, to be honest, right? I mean, there are, I think, 4 or 5 platforms available where I know for systematic literature searches. I think there are a couple of more, actually, but some are not, let's say, promoting it really proactively. So I would guess we probably have 7 to 8 different systematic literature search AI platforms available. Some are a bit better than others, but I think at least they're helping already quite a lot. From a pricing forecasting perspective, there are also maybe a handful of those platforms available. Most of those still rather small, and I think it's still tricky to really forecast a price, especially if you have something very new in your hand, but at least the kind of basis, I think, can be done quite fast, and you can as well react to different requests, maybe also from internally, right? So those are probably, let's say, pieces I would look out for. The dossier we currently have on our own only, I mean, I know that some companies are as well, industry companies are as well trying to develop it. As far as I know, what I have heard now, they are also not yet there, but also there's probably a bit of the question of the expectation, right? If you're looking for 80, 90% ready dossier, I think we're probably not yet there, even with the kind of platform and tools available yet. But as you said as well, to draft something, maybe the 50, the 60% of the work, which is being done beforehand, I think that is already saving 3, 4, 5, 6 months of time, right? So that's, I think, a very important component. And then I think everything around it, we need to see, but I think you can probably streamline everything. But also there, I think, when at least thinking about the market access area, I think the statistical one is obviously well an important one. It's probably something to really watch out at probably the next 2 or 3 years, course. I think there will be a lot coming out there. Are people speaking about it? People are thinking at least about it. Some are still developing it. As you said as well, some are just using it maybe from somewhere else. I think we have maybe as well learnings from other areas. I mean, and that kind of, let's say, overall area just developing so fast. I think you have every, let's say, 3, 4, 5 months, you have something new, right?
Yep.
Just as earlier this week, I just learned as well. I think you can basically have a speech and have your AI translating it at the same time to different languages, right? You don't need a translator anymore. Even in Chinese, it was so great to see. It was just, oh, wow. So, you know, and you know, with that, I mean, you can probably do a lot, right? This is just one small kind of example. Not even thinking about, let's say, different, I don't know, statistical kind of analysis, which can probably be done as well from various angles.
Yeah. And so if people want to learn more about this, please reach out to Stefan.
Yes.
He definitely helped with lots of these different things, and he's working on these kind of different tools for himself. And so reach out to him. That will definitely make your life easier in this actually quite frightening situation that we are facing, you know, with lots of uncertainty coupled with very, very short timeline. So it will be very, very interesting. I'm kind of glad I'm not responsible for one of these procedures.
Yeah, of course. I think that, I think if you're responsible for that and you just get the timelines, right? Do it, and this is the timeline. And then obviously commercial is behind you, clinic is behind you, and regulatory has basically delivered. So I think it's getting really, really even more tense, especially also in that area. And at the same time, we still, let's say, have a scarcity of resources as well, right? Or manpower. So it's a mix of everything, which might even, let's say, get into the direction either that some pieces are delayed, submissions are being delayed, and or maybe the submissions are not at the highest quality. Both are not good for the success of companies.
Yeah, absolutely. So thanks so much, Stefan, for this awesome episode where we talked about all the different things that are happening around the EU HTA process. Where we are now that, yes, there's some movement, but there's still lots of uncertainty. We looked especially into the complexities around the timings, which will be really, really challenging, especially with the uncertainty around decisions on the regulatory side. And we talked about which indication will be first most affected, like oncology, rare diseases. And that there's a couple of different occasions, including also my conference and ISPO in November of 2024, that will definitely be good places to attend. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Alexander, for your time. Thanks for having me. And thanks for the good discussion.
And I'm sure this won't be the last one.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alexander. Bye.
I really enjoyed this discussion with Stefan, and I hope you did too. This show was created in association with PSI, who is actually doing a lot in this area. Just check out the PSI homepage at psiweb.org. A lot of things around EU HTA will also happen at the upcoming conference. And we are increasing the prices as we release more information about the conference. So if you want to be absolutely certain for what you will get, then wait for later in the year to register. Or if you know that, well, the last two conferences were already pretty good from a presenter point of view, from an engagement point of view, and this conference is even better, then, well, save yourself some money and bet on a great conference. A lot of people are working on in the background on creating a really, really nice experience for you. Thanks to Rain and her team at VVS, who helps, by the way, also with the conference and with this show, and thank you for listening. Reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.